We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Once you get started, it's hard to stop.
It's 12 noon ATL.
Real talk alert.
Rick Kamla and John Michaels on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Hey, everybody's buzzing about college basketball coming up at 12:20. We are going to downshift into the NFL. Talk Falcons. John's guy, Lock and Fora, has a report that our Falcons are very interested in Austin Seferian Jenkins. Oh, my God. I don't know where to start.
I'm not mad at that at all. 25-year-old tight end.
Totally mad at that.
Tall, can catch the ball, seemingly got his life in order last year in New York. I'm okay with that.
Not okay with that.
Bargain basement.
I don't want bargain basement. I want Jimmy Graham or Mark Andrews or Gesicki or one of that. I don't want bargain basement. Seferian Jenkins is going to come here and catch 31 freaking passes. Big deal.
With it. It's more than Levine Toilolo.
Big deal. No, I'm totally down on this. Hopefully, because it's your boy Lock and Fora, who is one of the all-time leaders in the clubhouse of throwing ish against the wall and hoping it sticks. Hopefully, there's nothing to this this terrible rumor.
We'll get to the Vision Computers Twitter poll brought to you by Vision Computers, where if you need help with tech support, it's less than 15 seconds away. Brian, you've got this thing cooked up at Rick and John 929. What's the Vision Computers Twitter poll today?
Yeah, so we'll base it off of yesterday's sporting events. What was the most exciting thing yesterday in sports? Was it Atlanta United's home opener? Was it the brackets being released? Or was it Tigers' final round at Valspar?
Shea Gilgeous-Alexander's performance against Tennessee. I'm serious.
No.
That doesn't really?
No, okay. It didn't move it for me.
Okay.
For me, and this is to not rankle the feathers of Atlanta United, I'm thinking outside of – in Atlanta, it's not even close. It's Atlanta United. I saw the crowd at the Gulch and everything that happened there. Unbelievable. It's Tiger Woods. There were people paying attention to the Valspar Open. The Valspar Open. Would you have even looked to see who won that had Tiger Woods not been in contention?
I still didn't look to see who
okay.
won it.
Brian, would you have looked to see who was in contention if Tiger's not there?
I may have a little bit because I'm a golf nerd, but I wouldn't have watched 4 hours of it yesterday.
Preacher man, would you have paid attention at all if Tiger wasn't in the running?
I'd have checked it out.
Really?
Yeah, I'm a golf nerd.
He's like a golf guy, though.
I'm a golf guy. I wouldn't even have known there was a tournament if Tiger Woods wasn't in it.
Well, John, speaking of the tournament, it is time for the 5-Hour Energy Coaches Hotline, and we bring in Bob Wenzel, and it's time for the 5-Hour Energy Coaches Hotline. It's brought to you by, what else? 5-Hour Energy. Only 5-Hour Energy real-time brackets lets you beat an upset by making the call to stick or switch a pick during live tournament games. John's been telling you about this for the last week. Make the right call to hang on to the most points and keep your bracket alive all the way to the finals. Sign up today at 5hourenergybrackets.com. All right, Bob Wenzel joining us here, former college basketball coach at Jacksonville and Rutgers, current analyst for the Big Ten Network. Coach, good morning.
Hey, how's it going, Rick and John?
It's going great, man. So, Coach, the Big Ten, in terms of, let's just start with Michigan State and Michigan. Obviously, Michigan wins the tournament second straight year. They beat Michigan State to eventually do that. Michigan State a 3 seed, Michigan a 3 seed. John and I think Michigan State should be a 2 seed and not in the Midwest, the bracket of death. Maybe you flip-flop Purdue out of the East to the Midwest. Maybe you put Michigan State up there as the 2 seed in the East. How did you agree with the seeding of Michigan and Michigan State?
Well, you know, seeding is complicated. It's actually a lot more complicated than the actual selection of the teams. And it has to do with an S-curve. It's a little bit more complicated than I'm capable of explaining. But once you're at that point, I don't think it makes a whole lot of difference. Michigan State is a team early in the year who is a 2 or 3 ranked team in the country. And they have a great shot at going deep into the tournament. Michigan was unranked or barely ranked for most of the season and then got hot. So I think they're seeded properly, both of them. But, you know, I think the fact that the Big Ten tournament was a week earlier this year because it was held at Madison Square Garden, they couldn't get the date they wanted because the Big East has that. Okay, so their regular season was compressed because of that. and they went a week earlier, so their tournament was held at the time where the lesser tournaments are held. So they have a long time before they play in the NCAA tournament. For Purdue, you mentioned Purdue. For Purdue, I think this is a positive thing. I don't think they'll be rusty. End of the year, I thought that they looked a little tired and worn out. So I think the rest will help them. I think it hurts Michigan because Michigan was a very hot team. I had them a couple of times late in the year, and, I mean, they were on a roll. And they have a very intricate offense. Their defense is much, much better than it's been. And because of that, you want to keep playing when you're in Michigan's position. When you have 10 days off or 11, whatever it is for them, I think that can throw a wrench into the works for them. And for Michigan State, I mean, they're uber talented, right? I mean, these guys are very, very talented. The problem they have is that Duke is in their side, and they seem to have a problem with Duke even earlier this year. They lost to the Blue Devils. So I think, you know, from those perspectives, those three Big Ten teams, I think that's what the situation they find themselves in.
We've got Bob Wenzel with us here on the WadeFord.com hotline, Sports Radio 92.9. The game. Bob, let's look at the tournament as a whole. We always have the debate yesterday coming into today, really until the first games are played, about who should be in and who should be out. Oklahoma is the buzz team that a lot of folks say, wait a second, how did they get in? Did you feel the Sooners at 18 and 13 belonged in the field of 68?
No, I do not feel that they belong. And, you know, Trae Young is a wow factor guy, obviously led the nation in scoring and assists. I mean, the guy is fantastic. I announced the high school slam dunk and three-point shooting contest, and he was in it last year. Wonderful kid. He didn't win it, by the way. But I don't think, you know, you lose eight out of his last 10 games. You know, I mean, you had some good wins during the course of the season, no doubt about that. He's an exciting guy. No committee member would ever say that they're putting a team in because of an exciting, you know, All-American player. But you got to wonder. You really do. And I think it's not a good thing when there are other teams who have had maybe the best season in the history of the school, and they get bumped out of their tournament, you know, in the semifinals or something, and they've won 26, 27 games. For a team that lost eight out of their last 10, you know, I have a problem with that.
Bob Wenzel joining us. It's the 5-Hour Energy Coaches Hotline on the Midday Show with Rick and John. Bob Wenzel, former coach of Jacksonville and Rutgers analyst for the Big Ten Network. And coach, in terms of a couple of teams that I do not trust in this year's tournament, they're two number one seeds, Virginia and Xavier, and both come from terrific conferences. I like both teams. I don't love both teams. I've got both teams going Sweet 16 and getting beat. How do you see Virginia and Xavier?
I think Virginia has proven themselves, and I understand your skepticism because they are not a team that's a great television team. You know, I did the tournament for 14 years for CBS, and, you know, obviously you want ratings when you're talking about the big picture stuff. But to me, Virginia has proven themselves. They've proven themselves in a great league, they just get quality shots on every possession. They don't let you score. You know, at the middle of the season, I was skeptical and like you, but I've become a believer. And the problem for them is they've got a lot of talented teams on their side of the bracket. I mean, Kentucky now is this uber-talented team that's finally starting to play a little bit. And Arizona was the number two team in the nation to start the year, but because of the FBI investigation and all of the things around that, and they had a couple of injuries, you know, they sort of fell off the radar. And now they win the Pac-12 championship. They got the best player in the country, and this guy, DeAndre Ayton. And they're hitting on all cylinders right now. So I think of the four number one seeds, Virginia has the toughest time to get to the Final Four. Xavier is a team that I think is a team that's tough, hard-nosed, experienced. They have Trayvon Blewett, who's a superstar player. They have big guys who and depth on the front court, so they can sustain foul trouble during the course of an individual game. So the problem for them, similar to Virginia, they got Gonzaga, who I think is a top four team in the country, and they don't play in a big league. You know, they're West Coast Conference. They're in a situation where they're on television, but it's 11 o'clock at night for most of us, so we don't get to see them quite as much. So I think that's going to be a stumbling block for Xavier.
We've got Bob Wenzel with us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, breaking down the NCAA tournament. All right, Bob, we all love to play the bracket challenge and do all of this different stuff, and we all try to find 12, 13, 14 seeds that may win. I've narrowed mine down to three that I really like. New Mexico State, I really like South Dakota State, and I know everybody's talking about Loyola of Chicago. Who do you see as some of the lower-seeded teams that potentially could win a game or two in the tournament?
Loyola of Chicago, and the reason I say that is I know them better. I did their games three or four times. I do a lot of Missouri Valley Conference games for CBS, and they're a team that has in the past been a four-guard lineup and a donut, you know, no big guy. Their center would be 6'5", you know, that kind of thing. But now they have a 6'9" kid named Krutwig, who's 260 pounds. He's a freshman, and he's a very good lane player. Understands the geography of the lane, the angles involved in rebounding and positioning for offense as well. And they can shoot the lights out. They got four guys on the team who shoot north of 40% from three-point range. This kid, Clayton Custer, went to Iowa State, transferred there, and is a terrific offensive player. Dante Ingram is one of these 6'7" guys who jumps out of the gym. I mean, and they won 28 games. I mean, and the Missouri Valley is a solid league, right? So I know them better. So I would not argue with you about New Mexico State or South Dakota State, but I know Loyola better. And they're playing Miami, whose best player is out. So I think that's a factor in my thinking here a little bit also.
Bob Wenzel joining us here. Bob, John Michaels, my esteemed colleague here, is a huge Hurricanes fan, and he was, I think, agreeing with what you were saying, but yeah, at the same time shaking his head. He did not want to hear that. So, Coach, if Michigan State takes care of business and Duke takes care of business, they will meet in an epic Sweet 16 game. Break that. If it happens, Coach, go ahead a little bit, a couple rounds, and break that one down for me.
Okay. I coached at Duke for 6 years, so I have to tell you that right away, okay? And it was a long time ago, but obviously that's part of my blood. And Duke has been successful against Michigan State this year. They beat Michigan State earlier in the year. However, because Duke is playing zone defense, and because at times, for long periods of times, they seem disinterested at that end of the floor. I think Michigan State has the horses to beat Duke. I think they have the physicality to beat Duke. I think the fact that they have something to prove also mentally, Tom Izzo will use that with his team. I think Miles Bridges is probably the second or third most interesting player in college basketball this year. He eschewed his chance to go to the NBA last year. He would have been a very high pick. Decides to come back to Michigan State because he loves his teammates, he wants to do well, et cetera, and so forth. However, he plays very too unselfishly at times. And the fact that they are preparing him for the NBA by playing him at the 3 spot instead of playing at the 4 spot, where I think he could do more damage to teams, I think has been something of an issue with them. They play fast. They shoot threes. They lead the nation in block shots. They lead the nation in assists. So I'm a big fan of Michigan State, and I hope it gets to the point that you've described where Duke and Michigan State are playing one another. And I would give the edge to Michigan State at this point.
Coach, one last thing before we let you go. Who do you have as your Final Four, and who's cutting down the nets?
I don't have a Final Four because when I do that, I'm more interested to see if I'm right than interested in watching the games. But Virginia, I think, has proven its way during the season. I love Villanova. I've loved Villanova for the last 3 years. The way they play, the way they trap, and they do it at times that surprise people. And Jalen Brunson, for a guy who can barely dunk, he's one of the best players in the country. He's so cerebral. So those two teams I like immensely. But the other two that I think are going to come up is Arizona and Michigan State. I think those two teams really have the talent level to go all the way.
Hey, Coach, in about 30 seconds, please give us your take on Mark Fox being fired by Georgia. Do you agree with the move?
I don't follow it closely enough to know if there's anything there outside of basketball. Georgia's a football school for sure. They've had moderate success. I think they've been twice to the tournament since Mark has been there. They don't draw heavily. So I don't know the details of it well enough to know what's going on there. Thad Matta, if they go that direction, would be a very interesting choice. I think he's a great, great coach, and he has some physical issues that I think hurt him a little bit in the last couple of years. The most interesting thing is what's going on at Memphis with Tubby Smith. You know, guy's been to the Final Four with several schools, and Antoine Hardaway is sitting in the wings there, being a high school coach and an AAU guy in Memphis, and they've had trouble keeping talent with Tubby. So it looks like that's probably – I don't know if it's happened yet today. I haven't followed it, but it looks like that's in the offing. I think that's the most interesting one because Hardaway has no coaching experience in college at all. He's a wonderful guy. He was a great player there. He's an icon in Memphis. So if they make the change, clearly they're saying we need more talent.
Coach, great stuff. Really appreciate you coming on.
Thanks, Coach.
All right. Nice to talk to you guys. Have a good day.
You too. Thanks to Coach Bob Wenzel for checking in on the 5-Hour Energy Coaches Hotline. Don't miss any of the great college basketball matchups in March. Grab a 5-Hour Energy and get that feeling of energy and focus to watch all tournament long. And visit 5HourEnergyBrackets.com or click on the link at 929TheGame.com and make the key calls in-game, just like the coach. Control your bracket all tournament long. We got to give away some cash.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is
FAST. FAST, F-A-S-T. John Michaels, way back in the day, I used to be fast. Text FAST right now to 72881. Loyola Marymount used to play really, really fast.
I don't like moving very fast in my old age.
Yeah, I don't move very fast either, but you can text FAST right now to 72881. It's our $1,000 national signing bonus contest word. We'd like to give you $1,000 fast. So text it right now to 72881. NFL bounce coming up next. The Browns, if you look up, they just made another trade. And who just became a free agent? His name is Sue. That's next.
Bounce. We're bouncing around the shield.
Let's go!
It's the NFL bounce on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Here come the Brownies in our NFL bounce from the Kia Studios on the home of the Falcons. And we're going to talk Falcons and the Austin Seferian Jenkins and Bleedy Ray Wilson of it all here in just a second. Adam Schefter had a really cool tweet, John. It said, Browns 24 tally. They acquire Tyrod Taylor, my guy, Jarvis Landry, Demarius Randall, who I kind of can't believe the Packers gave up. They get fourth and fifth round picks from the Packers in 2018. Stop calling me. I'm on a radio show. They get the Patriots third round pick in 2019. They traded away a 2018 third, a 2018 fourth, a 2019 seventh, DeShone Kizer, 2018 fourth and fifth. You keeping track of this? You're scoring at home. Defensive tackle Danny Shelton and a 2018 fifth. I have never seen activity by one team like this in a 36-hour period in my life.
I was going to say, you may see that in an offseason, like an entire offseason, those kind of moves. They did that in a weekend. And they took Sunday off. They were like Chick-fil-A. They were closed on Sunday. No need to open up business because Darren Revell, which, by the way, did you see him get crossed over and fall down like a bumbling idiot?
I didn't, but me happy.
I'll show you the video during the break. That's much better video than the kid that got pushed from behind and got thrown into the stanchion, which, by the way, I would have turned around and hit that other kid with a right cross.
The what John's talking about, go to my likes and you can see it. John quote retweeted it, so you can go to John Michaels' Twitter page and see it there. But in terms of the one kid pushing the other kid down, the kid that got – he was in the air for a dunk, got pushed into the stanchion violently. His entire bench should have rushed the floor and boot stomped the kid that pushed him from behind. It was that bad.
We'll talk about that later, but to get back to the NFL portion of it. Now what becomes interesting is the top of the draft for the Cleveland Browns. Trade for Tyrod Taylor. He's your starter. Is he more, though, than a stopgap starter? Now, he's better than DeShone Kizer or Cody Kessler or any of the other trash that they've trotted out there. Tyrod Taylor is a playoff quarterback from a year ago. I think he can help turn the Browns around and play better football than they were doing. But Are they still going to be in the market for a top five quarterback?
They're going to take Lamar Jackson with the 33rd pick, in my
opinion.
You think
so?
If he's still there. Mm-hmm. But I think the writing is on the wall for that. Hugh Jackson said, and we chided him for it, he wants a veteran quarterback in addition to a rookie. So they're still going to take a quarterback, whether it's, you know, Mason Rudolph. But what I don't think is going to happen, John, I think their 1 in 4 picks are not going to be a quarterback. That I do think. I think number one will be Saquon Barkley. Number four is probably going to be Minkah Fitzpatrick, Derwin James, somebody like that. If Bradley Chubb happens to slip by Indianapolis at 3, right, I think they would take Bradley Chubb and bookend him with Myles Garrett. But think about the Browns' offense right now. If they take Barkley, you've got Tyrod Taylor at quarterback. You've got Jarvis Landry, Corey Coleman, and Josh Gordon. Mm-hmm. You've got Njoku and this DeSalve guy, but you've got Njoku, who's a nice prospect tight end. Your backfield would be Duke Johnson as the sort of change
Jack
of pace,
of all trades guy.
Catch the ball guy. You'd have Saquon Barkley. What? Giddy up, bro.
Don't they still have Isaiah Crowell?
No, he's a free agent.
He is a free agent, okay.
Yeah, so if you take Barkley, then Crowell would be elsewhere. That is a nasty offense in terms of the frontline guys we're going to be watching on Sundays.
Now, you could very easily see them go Barkley and then a Quentin Nelson at guard, because offensive line,
if he's there, I'm on board with it.
He'd be there at 4. I don't think anybody takes him 2 or 3. Might be a little bit high for Quentin Nelson, mm-hmm, but if you want to really solidify the offensive side of the ball, potentially they could go that route.
He is being mocked in the top 10. Am I correct about that?
Yeah.
So, you know, maybe you trade back a couple spots, earn an asset. I don't know. But the bottom line is that we're all kind of waiting on the Browns right now. And the Browns are in the catbird seat, mm-hmm, in this draft. Think about it. 1 in 4, and you get the first pick in the second round? Wow. But it sounds to me like Lamar Jackson is going to fall out of the first round. Again, I don't agree with that. But I think that's going to be the reality of it here. And I don't think he gets by Cleveland with that first pick in the second round.
Couple of big names moving in the NFL. First and foremost today, the Dolphins planning to release Ndamukong Suh. If I read the money correctly, they're going to have like 20-some-odd million dollars in dead money attached to him. I'm not sure what the full language of the contract is, where there's an out, how much they actually have to pay. But Sue will be a free agent. I can tell you right now, no, he will not be coming here to Atlanta. He is going to cost way too much money to come here.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Are you sure the word isn't sort of out on him, that he's to turn it on when he wants to?
That's
turn
what
it off?
He's always been, yeah.
But okay, so he's with Detroit, and he has that reputation. And by the way, one of the dirtiest players we've seen in the NFL in the last 10 years. I mean, just blatant, mm-hmm, awful, Grayson Allen-esque cheap shots. So you have that, and you have, okay, so now he's been with Detroit, and now he's been with Miami. So he's been to two different spots, and he's washed out in both spots and been totally overpaid and overrated in both spots. If I'm an NFL GM, I'm not even – I'm thinking about 2 years, $10 million on Ndamukong Suh. And if he goes north of that, then he can play somewhere else. But to me, his price tag has fallen precipitously.
You're talking about a guy that was set to make $26 million this year alone. There's no chance he would take $5 million a year. He's probably going to get north of $10 million per year. He's still a really good player when he's engaged and he decides to play. I've already seen some rumors potentially Seattle could be interested. Remember, Sheldon Richardson, a free agent there. They may go a different direction with Sue. Have fun with it. But I'm throwing it out there because I know Falcon fans immediately go, I want him. And, yeah, I would love to have Ndamukong Suh if he'd sign it 2 years for $10 million. Probably not going to happen. Elsewhere over the weekend, we'll get to the Austin Seferian Jenkins of it all here in just a second. Richard Sherman cut and then signs with the San Francisco 49ers. That is sort of a bleep you to the Seahawks.
You think?
And it also ties into he did go to Stanford, so he's going to be closer to home.
Yeah, and in terms of, if you build it, they will come. Well, John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan, well done with Jimmy Garoppolo, because now people are looking at the Niners with upside. They won their last 5 games. Yep. Jimmy G gets paid. They're going to do a good job, I presume, again here in the draft, and they're on the come. Now, I don't think they're a playoff contender necessarily next season, but you know the NFL. We can't say they won't be. You never know. The Rams freaking won the West this year. Nobody saw that preseason. And I read that Richard Sherman negotiated his own deal.
He did.
Which is kind of gangster. But did he do himself a disservice? Correct me if I'm wrong, $39 million over 3 years is what he could make based on incentives and reaching bonuses and all that kind of stuff. Didn't I see that he got only guaranteed $3 million?
I'd have to go back and look.
On a $30 million deal. So what he did, he bet on himself. And he, instead of taking, so 39 divided by 3 is $13 million a year. Mm-hmm. So instead of maybe taking a safer $30 million over three-year deal with more guaranteed, he bet on himself and said, I'll lower the guaranteed number, give me a higher potential number, and I'm going to get healthy, and I'm going to prove to everybody that I'm still Richard Sherman. I think that's what he did here.
May have been. I think there's like an $8 million escalator that involves the Pro Bowl. If he makes the Pro Bowl, then stuff becomes guaranteed after that. He's thinking he's going to be healthy and ready to go and ready to rock and roll. Either way, I like the fact that he looked at Seattle and go, oh, you want to cut me? Now you got to play me two times a year.
So it says here the signing bonus was originally reported at $5 million. It's actually $3 million. Sherman has a $2 million roster bonus he can earn on the first day of training camp if he passes a physical, blah, blah, blah. So I was right. He's betting on himself. He's saying, I'm going to show up and be a bad bleep. Bleepity bleep bleep for this time, and you're gonna have to pay me the full 39 over three. But John, here come the 49ers.
Mm-hmm. Here come the Falcons potentially at tight end. So I saw one story over the weekend, and I forgot who tweeted it. It was one of those Twitter accounts that said teams that have interest in potential players, and the name Jimmy Graham and Falcons were next to each other. The Jimmy Graham had like five or six teams that were interested. The Falcons were in the mix. And then the story on the Falcoholic today said the Falcons are reportedly very interested in your boy, Austin Seferian Jenkins.
Could I ask you a favor?
Uh-huh.
Could you do some snooping as to the source of that Jimmy Graham connection with the Falcons?
I got to go back to my Twitter likes.
And I will tell people how much I dislike this rumor of Austin. So here's the deal. Jason LaCanfora of CBS Sports. And by the way, Jason LaCanfora is wrong a lot. He's not wrong as much as Ian Rappaport, but he's wrong a lot. You remember Jason LaCanfora was the guy that reported that Steve Sarkisian was bye-bye to Seattle as their offensive coordinator. How'd that report work out?
Not so good.
How'd that work out?
Not too good.
Anyway, LaCanfora reporting that the New York Jets want Austin Seferian Jenkins back. You can have him. He's also reporting that the Falcons and Seahawks are very interested, not just interested, but very interested in ASJ. I am totally bummed out about this. I'm going to pray that this does not happen because Austin Seferian Jenkins is just a guy. He's okay. He's Eric Ebron. Right? Talented guy, big strapping dude, 6'5", 250, runs a 2, whatever. Runs like a 4.56 or whatever. Okay, those are his measurables. Watch him play. He drops balls. Mm-hmm. He's not reliable. He's injury prone. He infamously got a DUI when he was down there at Tampa Bay. And like I say all the time, it's a party foul. Like, it's not striking a woman, murdering somebody or something like that. But nevertheless, that DUI was the symptom of a greater problem. He had off-the-field issues.
Yep.
Tampa Bay said bye-bye, and think about it. The New York Jets went to get him.
Mm-hmm.
The New York Jets are the halfway house to retirement, okay? The only people that go to the New York Jets are people desperate to take money from anybody in the NFL. So that's how far Austin Seferian Jenkins' career bottomed out. And what the hell did he do with the Jets that he's generating significant interest on the open market?
50 catches, career high, which is about what Austin Hooper had. He only had 3 touchdowns, 357 yards, but he only started 10 games. I guess he was injured for a couple.
Oh, injured again.
Yeah.
So you're telling me he had 300-some yards on 50 grabs?
Mm-hmm.
So his average per catch was like 6.5?
7.1.
Ew. Bruh. Ew. Do you really want this bum?
I wouldn't mind him. Big guy, red zone target. Who was throwing
come
him the
on,
ball in
dude.
New York?
Come on, dude, John.
You're talking about 2
you're
years.
You're killing me right now.
Dude, you're talking about 2 years and like $5 million for Austin Seferian Jenkins.
But he's not going to make our offense better.
Right now you are shopping until deals are restructured. You are shopping with $14 million bucks. That's it. So
well, then draft a tight end and let Seferian Jenkins go somewhere else.
And they might, but the point to that is, guys that are thinking, all right, go get this guy. Until Matt's deal is restructured and Jake Matthews' deal is restructured and maybe they cut a match, that's all you have to shop with. It's going to be a lot of guys at the $2 million range to try to make this team. By the way, the name of the site, My Sports Updates, I believe it who it is. Now, listen.
That sounds so shady.
It's called NFL Update. Teams that have interest in Jimmy Graham, Ravens, Packers, Saints, Falcons, Texans, they have like 100-something thousand followers. So they have a lot of stuff going on. We take a break. We come back. We will do From the Bible next with the Preacher Man. Yeah? With you? All right. We wrap it up next.
29. Calling the game.
All right, real quick, I want to get it over to the preacher man. Brendan Haywood joining us at the top of the hour, former Tar Heel, NBA champion. We're going to talk college hoops and brackets and a little NBA with him. And then at 1:20, it's around the 4:04. We talk about local stories, Atlanta United, Ron Hunter, Georgia State, Georgia firing Mark Fox, all that jazz. Preacher man from the Bible time.
All right, from the Bible is brought to you by Dunn Waterproofing and Restoration. Get it done with Dunn. Call 770-4FLOODS, Dunn Waterproofing.
You're just showing off at this point.
I know, right? Still without a script. Brian's over there. You got the whole paper. So
nice.
All right, sad news for you, Ricky. This came out Friday, I believe. It was brought to my attention. I did not see it, so I was immune to it. Sean McDonough is out as Monday Night Football play-by-play announcer.
Let's just back up. Let's just back up for a second. I do need a little credit on this one. Did I not call this?
You did.
Did I not call this? The first time I heard Sean McDonough call a game on ESPN.
Oh, you were incensed.
In the preseason.
Yes.
Remember that game he called with Gruden? I said, oh, hell no. You got to get him off. But, John, think about it. The NFL is a different beast than college sports.
Mm-hmm.
It just is. It's glitzier. It's bigger time. It's like Broadway. Right? If you're doing a play on Broadway, it's the top of the heap. That's the NFL. He just isn't good enough. Doesn't have the swagger, doesn't have the voice, doesn't have the presence, doesn't have any of that. Now, I did tweet over the weekend, he's a darn good college basketball and football announcer. That is his lane. And I'm not mad at Sean McDonough. Look, Monday Night Football is probably out of my lane. But if ABC and ESPN came to me and said, Cam, you're the guy, I would take the job. So I'm not mad at Sean McDonough. I'm actually mad at the bosses for giving him the job in the first place.
Yeah, I've said it all along. College game day comes a call, and I'll be up there. I'll put on the tie. I'll do the Tom Rinaldi. I can't do the Tom Rinaldi piece, but I can get up there on the desk and break down games.
Why can't you do the Rinaldi piece?
I'm not soft. I can't come up with those feel-good stories.
Drop your voice.
Yeah, I
can't. You like purple, and he's always got purple.
That is true.
He is a big fan of purple. We found this out.
We found out.
All right, so Tessitore?
Yeah, I like Joe Tessitore.
Did I not also tell you that I would holler at Joe Tessitore for Monday Night Football?
I believe he did.
Now, Peyton Manning doesn't look like he's going to do it, though.
Because of Tessitore or because...
No, just from everything I read over the weekend, it doesn't seem like he's interested in doing an announcement.
That reeks of they're not paying me enough.
Yeah, I think he was out before they even announced Tessitore's name. Peyton was.
And again, that reeks of ESPN wants him, but you got to show him the money. I mean, you're going to have to... Preacher Man, you're going to have to pay Peyton Manning
$10 million a year,
double what you would normally pay a guy to get him out of his cushy life. You're going to have to overpay to get him.
Oh, absolutely. Like John said, I think rumors were last week between ESPN and Fox, the number was around $10 million to get him.
Whoa.
$10 million per.
For 1 year?
$10 million per.
Calling one game a week?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Gruden was making, what, about $6 million, somewhere in there?
Yeah, give or take.
So do we know that ESPN offered Peyton $10 million a year?
I don't know if he offered him that, but that was the rumor.
The story was
out that ESPN and Fox were both trying to get Peyton in their camps, and allegedly the number was $10 million.
You know why I think Peyton Manning is eschewing ESPN? The car wash. When you go to ESPN, you got to do morning shows, afternoon shows, evening shows. You got to go on with SVP after the game. They just ask. And these ball players,
SVP after the game is not a big deal because it happens like right when the game's over. So that's like, okay.
Right, but it's something else. And when you're Peyton and every minute of your day is monetized sometimes, I'm just saying, like they ask a lot more than Turner Sports and Fox. And I think that turns some guys off.
All right, so apparently the Greek sports minister says the Greek Super League matches have been suspended indefinitely. This is a day after the gun-toting owner of the PAOK marched onto the pitch following a disputed goal at the end of the league match game. So, here's the deal. The prime minister said the fixtures have been suspended and will not restart if there's not a new/clear framework agreed to by all so we can move forward with conditions and regulations. The gentleman by the name of Ivan Savitis, he walked onto the pitch of the Tumba Stadium on Sunday to dispute a goal that was disallowed in a game against the AEK Athens. He was accompanied by his bodyguards and appeared to be carrying a pistol in his holster.
Whoa! Whoo! And he was mad about a goal scored or disallowed for his team.
Yeah, he was the owner of the team, and the goal was disallowed by his team in the 90th minute, which would have given them a 1-0 victory.
So he walks out onto the pitch with a gun.
My kind of guy.
So again, it turns into the movie The Last Boy Scout. He's going to walk out there and start offing people.
Well, he ain't Billy Blanks.
No. Or it turned into, remember the awful scene that happened in Brazil a few years back where players or fans beheaded a referee for making a bad call?
Stop it.
You don't remember that?
No.
Oh, yeah.
They decapitated a ref?
Yeah, on the field.
Shut up.
Yeah, I'm not kidding.
Just brutal murder?
Oh, yeah.
Gladiator style out on the field?
I think they used like a machete of some sort and whoosh.
Stop it. So were there like only a few people on the field where you could see it, or was it a big mob on the field?
I don't think I've ever seen video of
it. Oh, my God,
but yeah, guy got whacked. And
you're blowing my mind.
Yeah. It's almost like an episode of I Survived.
It's only a sport.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Tell that to other people.
Yeah, tell that to the billion people that watch that game. All right, so here's we're going 2 for 2 on soccer today. Sergio Ramos, who captains both the Real Madrid and the Spanish national team, had to leave the field in the second half of Real's 2-1 win over Eibar with what appeared to be a mysterious injury. Turns out he had just flat-out crapped himself.
Oh, no.
Okay. Do you remember last week you were telling me about Along Came Polly?
Uh-huh.
And Philip Seymour Hoffman?
Yeah.
Blarting?
Yeah, something along those lines.
I don't want to get us in trouble. It's not blarting. It's...
Hey,
SH.
We don't do me.
Rest. So, John, last night, Charity and me just kicking it in bed before falling asleep. And Along Came Polly.
It was on?
Yes. And John was just telling me about this movie. And I saw it way back in the day, but of course, I've forgotten all the details. So, dude, the funniest thing is, like, I forget what scene it was, but then it's the scene where they're playing basketball. Mm-hmm. And he's like, make it rain. Dunk. Rainball. Dunk. I was laughing so hard.
Oh, yeah, it's hilarious.
By the way,
not only was the guy beheaded, somebody stuck his head on a stick and was marching it around.
Mm-hmm. Barbarians?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
All right, well, you know how we like to live vicariously through other people. On Sunday, Jay-Z took out Roc Nation sports president Juan Perez for a birthday celebration in Manhattan. He racked up an $80,000 bar tab and left an $11,000 tip.
That's not enough. You got to go 20 grand on that because 20% is 16,000. Let's go ahead and make it $100,000 nice and easy. $11,000 on 80 is, what, about a 13% tip or something like
now,
that? That's not enough.
What were they being? Were they just handed bottles of Ace of Spades, most likely?
Where there was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 bottles, Ace of Spades.
And how much did those equal?
That's $1,200 a pop.
Whew.
Then there was,
right there was
20 Ace of Spades rows, which came out to 50 gur.
Okay.
And then there was another 15 Ace of Spades. It was another 18.
So basically, and I'm not knocking your math at all because your math is spot on. 16 would have been nice. You're literally getting 11 grand to bring out like 20 bottles of alcohol.
Doesn't matter.
It's not a bad hustle.
I'm just saying it doesn't matter. You got to go. Like if you have... If your bill at a diner is $10, like when it's that small, I just go ahead and give them a $5 tip.
Sure, me too.
Like I don't, I'm going to give them $3 because that's, no, I just go ahead and give them $5. A lot of times $13 at like Huddle House or something, I just go ahead and round it up and give them $20.
Sure.
I'm just saying, man, but that's small potatoes. But you're Jay-Z we're talking about, right?
Mm-hmm.
Jay-Z is worth like almost $1 billion?
Yeah, that Jay-Z.
Yeah, go ahead and bump it up a little bit, bro. Come on, man. People are
feeding
families.
What the thing about it is, it's a write-off, right? It's a business. You talk business, it's, you write that off. And then
I'm not, like, super mad at him, but come on, bump it up, man.
All right, so research material today belongs to Tanya Marie Karinji.
Tanya Marie, how do you spell the last name?
It's C-R-A-I-N-G-I.
You had me at three names.
Well, the only thing about her, she's also a multi-millionaire real estate mogul.
Nice. Well, that bumps her up at least a point or two. Hey, we take a break. We come back in the 1 o'clock hour. We're going to talk to Brendan Haywood. Hawks are tanking, and the NBA playoffs are getting close. We talk to him about that and North Carolina, of course, on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
Let it rain! Rain dance! Let it rain! Let it rain! Iceman!
Sandy! Sandy!
White chocolate!
Sandy!
Raindrops! Old school! T! Time out! I'm burning! My lungs are burning!
Time out.
The Bunker Mentality with Andy Bunker.
I think Yonte Maton's future, if he so chooses to accept it, is to be a really, really good player in Europe.
Wow.
What do you think his future is,
Jarvis? That's like telling you, like, yeah, Andy, man, I know you're working in Atlanta, you know, doing your thing on air at night. I think you can kill it in Macon, man.
I think I could kill it in Macon.
Oh, Lord.
The Bunker Mentality with Andy Bunker. Weeknights from 7 to 11. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Hey, what's up, guys? John Michaels for my buddies at 5-Hour Energy. We keep telling you to get back to 100%. So that means take a 5-Hour Energy shot, drink it in seconds, feel it in minutes, and it lasts for hours. Well, the NCAA tournament and the brackets are out there, and there's no better place to get on board than 5HourEnergyBrackets.com. I actually signed in yesterday and got mine up. You can go there to 929thegame.com. You can link in with us and get in with the bracket challenge. You ask, well, what makes 5-Hour Energy brackets different than anyone else? Well, you can change your picks live in game. If you're scrolling through and you're kind of having that conundrum, Virginia or Arizona moving on deep in the tournament. And during the Virginia-Arizona game, Arizona takes the lead and you realize, well, my pick of Virginia is not going to work. You go ahead and you switch your picks. As the game goes along, your picks or your points diminish. So you'll want to get that pick changed as quickly as possible. If you're confident, you leave it up there. If you miss the pick and going into the next round, you don't have your team, no problem. 5HourEnergyBrackets.com. You switch your picks. Log on today, 5HourEnergyBrackets.com, or check out the link at 929thegame.com.
All right, welcome back to the Kia Studios and the Midday Show with Rick and John. Preachman is efforting Brendan Haywood right now, 2011 NBA champ and former Tar Heel. We're going to talk pro and college hoops with him. The brackets are out, ladies and gentlemen, and we are excited about that. John and I have, we've got two differences with our Final Four. I've got Nova, I've got Michigan State, I've got North Carolina, and I've got Arizona. John, hit them with your Final Four here.
I have Nova, I have Michigan State, I have Virginia, who I've switched. I put Virginia in, and I have Gonzaga. And I have Michigan State cutting down the nets.
Michigan State are the champ, and I've got Nova winning the championship
really?
This
Over
year.
Over Arizona?
I do, yeah. Okay. I think I've been saying it for a while. They got that look to me, John.
Yeah.
They really do. Spellman is a big who can block shots, and he hits threes. They've got Pascal, who's a jack-of-all-trades, burly guy, physical player. And one of my favorite players in the country, Mikhail Bridges, he absolutely went Ray Allen clutch mm-hmm. on the Big East championship game. And I haven't even mentioned Jalen Brunson, college player
right.
of the year. And you've got DiVincenzo. You've got Gillespie. They've got another guard whose name is Phil Booth. Mm-hmm. They're loaded. Villanova is loaded, obviously really well coached.
And by the way, to go back to that soccer story, the ref had apparently stabbed a player, which led people to attack him, kill him, cut his head off, stick it on a stick like it was the 1700s and march around with it.
That reminds me of Apocalypse Now.
Yeah.
With heads on stakes. Oh, my God, is that gory and gruesome. But this official apparently knifed one of the guys on that team.
Yeah, I think the player had hit him. Then the referee knifed the player, and then all hell ensued.
Well, he shouldn't have knifed the player.
Well, the player shouldn't have hit him either, but, you know, you understand. That's a bad scenario all the way around.
Well, the guy hit you. Why don't you hit him back?
I don't know.
Really, you punch me, I'm going to punch back. I'm not going to go to Preacher Man's car and get a weapon about it.
No. By the way, I stumbled into a show, and I know we'll get Brendan Haywood here in just a second, and I know this show is old. I don't know what we were watching, but there's a show called I Survived. It's literally first person's account of people that have been in death situations. And there's apparently like 6 years of this. I watched probably 10 episodes over the weekend. It just kept going on my DVR. Would you like to watch the next episode? Click. Would you like to not watch the next episode? Click. But it's literally first person accounts of people that have been in death scenarios. I was fascinated by this. Like, it's very intense. It's just a person sitting in a room. They're interviewing them. They're recounting everything that happened. There's not really any highlights. It's not like video showing. They may flip over and show, like, the house or, you know, whatever. But it was, like, you know, people that had been attacked by armed robbers, had been stabbed. There was this one couple that had an RV down in Baja, Mexico, and they kind of got lost and said, we'll just park for the night. And some armed people barged into their RV and did all kinds of disgusting things to them. It's a fascinating program.
So I was busy watching Houston, Wichita State, Villanova, and whatever team they played. So many games, it's escaping me right
Xavier.
Now. Providence in the championship game. Kansas and West Virginia in the championship game. North Carolina, Virginia in the championship game. And John is watching I Survived.
Well, a lot
we're
of
different
that,
dudes.
Yeah, that was late in the evening. That was like 11:30 at night when most of the sports were done. And I just happened to flip over and saw this show, and the next thing I know, it's like 2:30 in the morning, and I can't turn away. There was one episode that made the wife turn away. There was a guy in Tennessee, shocking this guy was in Tennessee. No offense, Paul, but he was cleaning his furnace in the basement, and his arm got stuck in the furnace.
What?
Stuck. Like he dropped a brush, and he tried to reach down. He tried to reach down for this this brush, and he couldn't get his arm back out of there, and the furnace was all jagged and rusty and everything else. So long story short, Rick, this guy's stuck in his basement for 3 days. He has no family there, nothing. His arm starts to rot away because he's in a position where it's losing circulation, and he literally goes to the movie Saw and hacks his own arm off to get loose.
Interesting. There's no fine or smooth way to transition off of that, but we are going to talk college basketball with my buddy from NBA TV.
I was going to say, here's the easy way to transition. I'm not cleaning my own furnace.
No, that would be
it's not going to happen.
I would definitely be calling somebody else for that. So Friday night, NBA TV, I worked with my guy Brendan Haywood, also the great Rod Strickland, and B-Wood now is on the WadeFord.com hotline. Brendan, how you doing, man?
I'm doing good. How about yourself?
Chilling, man. Chilling. We got John Michaels here. And so, Brendan, let's talk about the ACC and about Virginia. Are you trusting this team as they go into the tournament? Sorry for the memory. Obviously, you saw it. We all saw it. Virginia grinded you guys to a halt, the Tar Heels, on Saturday night. I've got Virginia losing in the Sweet 16 game to Arizona. Are you believing in this Cavalier team, Brendan?
I really am believing in this Cavalier team. I think they're the most unique team in college basketball this year, because they do the exact opposite of what's in style right now. Everybody wants to talk about playing pace and space and playing fast and getting up and down. This is the slowest paced team in college basketball. They slow the game down. They haven't allowed anybody to score 70 points this year. I didn't say 80, I said 70. They haven't allowed anybody to score 70 points this year. They force every single opponent to play their style. I know they might have to run to Arizona at some point early on in the tournament, but guess what? They are the best team in college basketball at double-teaming the post, so that works in their favor, because a guy like DeAndre Ayton probably will have to get his points off running the floor and offensive rebounds, because straight-up post-up, they're going to double him every single possession.
Brendan, why does that style work? I watch a ton of ACC basketball as a Miami fan, and they did the same thing to us about a month ago, grinded us into submission. I think it was 59-50. They play that pack-line style of defense. Why does that work so well in college?
Well, it works well, first of all, because Virginia gets a lot of guys that have to go to school for 4 years. So these guys understand the concepts, and they can apply it, and they get better and better and better at it every single season. And what happens is a lot of other schools don't have the continuity. You look at a team like Miami this year. You know, a guy like Bowen is going to leave school early. A guy like Walker, more than likely, is going to leave school early. They're going to have to replace those guys. Virginia gets these guys, they go to school for 4 years, 3 years. And what happens is over time, they become so good at this defense that they can play in a very unique style. Coach Bennett teaches it better than anybody else, and they're very hard on the first side of their defense. They're excellent in pick-and-roll coverage, and then they slow the tempo down, which absolutely helps their defense even more, because you can't get out in transition because they've slowed the game down so much. So they're not giving you any fast break points either. You have to work for every single bucket you get against UVA.
This guy's the bomb. That's why he's hanging out with Rick and John. Brendan Haywood, former Heel, longtime NBA center, 14 years, won a chip with Dallas in 2011. So, Brendan, obviously, I know how bad you wanted it on Saturday night, and I'm sorry that your Heels did not get that done. But if you've got – it sounds like you've got UVA going to the Final Four. Well, on the same side of the bracket, you could have North Carolina going to the Final Four and maybe those teams meeting in a rematch. Is that how you have your bracket? And if so, do you have the Heels beating the Cavs in the Final Four?
Well, you know what? I do actually have Carolina coming out. I haven't picked my champion yet. I've only picked my Final Four so far. So I got a couple more days to get that information in. But, yeah, I definitely have UVA coming out, and I have UVA coming out of the South. I have Carolina coming out of the West. I think Xavier is one of the weaker number one seeds out there. So I think either if Carolina doesn't win the West, I think we're looking at possibly them getting knocked off by Michigan and Michigan winning it. But I have Carolina winning it. So That's where I see it happening right now. I don't really want Carolina to play UVA again just because they've beaten us twice this year, and we really haven't solved their style of play.
Brendan, to go back to Friday night, though, it had to be a little bit nice as a Tar Heel graduate to knock off Duke in the ACC semifinals. What did you think of the Grayson Allen play where he kind of butt-checks the North Carolina guy? Do you feel he's as dirty as he is portrayed?
Yeah, Grayson Allen is, he's worked hard to get this dirty reputation. I know certain things happen after the whistle or extracurricular activities happen in sports, but trying to hip check somebody running past you at full speed, that's a dangerous play. Like, you can break that guy's leg. You know, you can seriously hurt somebody doing that. Trying to trip people running up and down the court, those aren't basketball plays. Like, I understand, I would understand it more if it was, hey, Grayson Allen got into a chippy situation with somebody, and then two plays later, he shot the guy an elbow. That's old school basketball. That's I'm going to get you back. So myself and other veteran players and guys in the NBA, guys that have gone on and retired, we would understand that more because we've all been in that situation. But in my 14-year career, I have never, ever purposely just tripped somebody. And it damn sure is not going to happen 3 to 4 times in my college career. It just says, like, sometimes when he gets into the heat of competition, he lets his emotion get the better of him, and it turns him into a dirty player, which is unfortunate because he's very skilled. We should be talking about his ball handling, his shot-making ability, but he doesn't run up and make mistakes, so we keep talking about the other stuff that we don't need to.
He's the GOAT of punks. I tweeted that out over the weekend. I can't stand Grayson Allen. He is at the top of my ish list, if you know what I'm saying. This guy's at the top of the other list, the other way around. I love this dude. Brendan Haywood hanging out with us, Rick and John, here on the home of the Hawks, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And you can hear Brendan on SiriusXM NBA Radio, also obviously an analyst for NBA TV and CBS Sports as well. Busy dude, so we appreciate his time. Brendan, give me a couple of maybe 11, 12, 13, 14 seeds. Some of those, you know, the 12 over a 5, you know, some of the upsets in this first round. Have you pinpointed an upset or two that you're feeling?
Well, there's definitely some teams that I've seen that they're very capable of pulling some upsets. I think a team like Bucknell is very capable. Now, I know they're playing Michigan State, but the thing about Bucknell is they're a mid-major that has two very good bigs, and Zach Thomas and Nana Fallon. And Zach Thomas is a guy that averaged 21 points per game. He can go inside, outside. So they have two guys that have size on them that can play, and a lot of other mid-majors don't have that. They also get up and down the court. They play at a good pace, average about 80 points per game, and they have a very good guard in Brown on the perimeter who's able to score. So a team like Bucknell, you know, if Michigan State comes out sleeping, they could be in a dogfight. We've seen Michigan State go out early before. We all remember the Middle Tennessee State game, so a team like Bucknell is somebody you need to keep an eye on. There's some other teams out there as far as maybe they're not seated quite as low, but they could still give some teams a problem. I think that Kentucky needs to watch out for Davidson because Davidson's style of play means you have to be very disciplined. And that's Davidson is Steph Curry's old school, and if you watch Davidson play, they run a lot of Golden State Warriors-type action on the weak side of their offense, which continuously gets them wide-open layups and things of that nature. They have, like, the wheel action, the wheel cuts, where they have guys circling around other guys, back-cutting, setting pin down, slipping screen, and you consistently see Davidson getting easy buckets on the weak side. That is definitely somebody that I would look at as a 12-5 upset. Peyton Aldridge averages 22 points per game. He's going to be very tough for the Kentucky bigs to match up with because he goes inside, outside. And Keelan Grady, 18 points per game for the freshman. Watch out for this guy. This guy's a special basketball player.
Brendan Haywood with us here on the WadeFord.com hotline, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. All right, Brendan, we see the top four seeds. Who will be the first of the one seeds to be eliminated?
Xavier. Oh, yeah. Xavier's the weakest one seed to me.
How far do you think they go?
Man. How far do I think Xavier?
Do you think they get past Gonzaga in the Sweet 16?
No, I don't. I really don't. I really don't think Xavier's going to go that far. I don't have a lot of faith in Xavier this year.
Brendan, when I first filled out my bracket, I had Missouri beating Xavier, and then I'm like, all right, Cam, sober up. and under, because Mizzou just had a kid get busted over the weekend, and obviously they looked a little disheveled bringing a Michael Porter Jr. back in terms of guys deferring to him and all that kind of stuff. Or do you look at Missouri as a team who could get it together and beat Xavier?
Well, I think a lot of that comes down to how good Michael Porter Jr. is, or how healthy he is, if he's able to get it back into form. I don't know. He was able to get up 17 shots in 23 minutes, but he didn't look great doing it. So I'm not sure if Missouri's going to get it done or not, but I could – Xavier's a squad. If they run into Ohio State or Gonzaga, I think either one of those teams could knock them off. So I don't have Xavier playing in the Elite Eight. I have most of the other number ones playing the Elite Eight, so that's why I have Xavier getting knocked off first.
All right, Brendan, we appreciate your time, man. I know you're busy as heck. I can't wait. I'm fascinated to find out who you've got winning it all. I've got Nova winning it all. John's got Michigan State winning it all. I have a feeling you may go with the baby blue of the Tar Heels to win this whole darn thing. B-Wood, we appreciate it, man.
All right, man. I appreciate it, man. Thanks for having me on.
Yes, sir. Brendan Haywood.
That's our guy on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Let's give away $1,000.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is
shelf. S-H-E-L-F. Shelf is your $1,000 National Signing Bonus Contest word. Text shelf right now to 72881. Again, shelf to 72881. We will do a slice of life about what is on our book shelf. Mine would be empty because I don't really read many books. But shelf is your word right now, Rick, to 72881. We take a break. We come back. We're going to bounce around the 404. It's been a big weekend here in Atlanta.
Oh, my God. The Hawks lost yesterday. That was a positive development.
It was. Atlanta United won yesterday.
And that was an even more positive development. But our Hawks are tied for third worst record. Not bad enough.
Keep on losing.
Marvin Bagley.
Trying to think who
DeAndre
I want.
DeAndre Ayton.
That's all next. 404.
All right, time to go around the 404 local sports only. This is now a staple on Monday. And shout out again to Brendan Haywood for joining us, man. That interview will be up on iTunes at 929thegame.com. You know, we have a lot of basketball analysts on. Most of them I'm good friends with. Yeah. And I just think he's really, really good. I think he's super intelligent. He knows the game, college and pro. And that's why we have him on. Great guy, too.
Dude, he just broke down Bucknell.
He did.
Like, on the fly.
And Davidson.
Yeah, and Davidson.
I didn't know anything about Bucknell. I just said Michigan State. I literally did not even know who Bucknell was playing. I just put Michigan State into the next round.
Knox Bardeen has an ingenious idea. He brought it by me and said, what do you think about this? And I said, it'll be great. It'll be a little bit embarrassing working at a sports station, but it'll be kind of funny. He said, how about we do video where I just walk around and ask questions about teams in the NCAA tournament? Just random. What's the mascot for South Dakota State?
Rabbits? Is it rabbits?
I think it's the Jackrabbits.
Okay. I that was a complete guess out of my butt.
You know, what city is – I don't know. He's thinking about doing that, like, where we know, but we really don't know.
It'd be funny. Ask name one player from Florida.
Chris Chioza.
I can't name a player from Florida.
Don't ask me anymore.
Now I can. Chioza. Didn't he have a huge shot in last year's tournament?
He's a little guard. It's a little pain in the
rear. Hit a runner from three or something to win or something like that? Yeah.
Yeah, he's a good little player.
Okay, so I can officially name somebody from Florida.
All right.
Gyoza.
Chioza.
I love Gyoza.
Isn't that a dip? Place.
Yeah. Gyoza dip. It's really good.
Put that on chips and maybe an egg roll. I don't know.
What's his name? Jed Jerko? What the hell is this guy's name?
Jerebko. Jonas Jerebko. That's who it is.
I like it. All right, let's go. Do you know what team Jerebko plays for, by the way?
Is he still in Detroit? Hell, I don't know. Who knows?
Utah.
Sure. I haven't watched a single dribble of a Utah game this year. Not one.
We could have played who he played for right there.
Plus, Knox is going to do that. Put it up at 929thegame.com. But we're going to go around the 404 right now. The biggest story in Atlanta from the weekend, Atlanta United, the home opener. You just heard Mike Conte, voice of Atlanta United, mention 72,000-plus at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Here's goal number two from Miguel Almiron.
He dribbles to the top of the 18. Ahead for Gressel. Off to Almiron at the penalty spot. Shot! Score!
Rizzo for Miguel Almiron, and Atlanta United looks to be on their way to their first win of the year.
How about Conte extrapolating a 2-0 advantage into the winner's circle? They score another one and then give up one, winning 3-1. I'm happy for Mike Conte. That is his third time calling Atlanta United. Did one preseason game, two now regular season games. And you know how bloodthirsty he was for a goal after we went bagel down there in Houston. So shout out to Mike Conte and Jason Longshore, a fantastic radio team on Atlanta United. And more importantly, shout out Atlanta United for evening their mark at 1-1.
And they'll be back at it Saturday. You can hear the game right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 7:30 kickoff against the Vancouver Whitecaps.
They're going down, John.
Yeah, they're going to lose again, and it should be a fun match coming up this week.
So I saw a stat on the bottom line last night on ESPN as they were it was before the Atlanta United win. Mm-hmm. Last year, Atlanta United scored 48 of their 70 goals at home, most in MLS.
Wow.
And here we go again. Zero on the road at Houston, three here at home. So that's just how our guys roll.
Well, and it's nice to also get a little payback for DC United last year, who had Atlanta United's number. We needed a win like that. Afterwards, goalie Brad Guzan talked about having Michael Parkhurst back.
Parky's a big player for us. He's our captain. He's a big player for us. He reads the game really well. He sniffs out danger kind of before it turns into a big problem, and that's important for us.
Man, I like Kazan's soundbites, man. That is, he's a really, really heady soccer player for sure. Hey, let's hear from Andrew Carlton here, the young fella, the local product. More required from him, of course, with Barco out. So let's play cut five.
Playing at home, I mean, I think we always have a little bit of an extra edge, but I didn't think we changed too much. I think things just, we played better overall. I mean, last week, you know, we had chances to score, and we made some mistakes in the back. I think we just cleaned those things up. I mean, it wasn't like we came out here and was like, all right, we're changing everything. I think we just played better overall.
But we talked about it. We figured this team would play much better in match number two. They did so. Watching our buddies from the faction, I saw some of their tweets and some of their Instagram posts. In the driving rain, they didn't care. They had Tent City set up there at the Gulch, and it was an unbelievable scene. You know, anybody that's knocking the product now just isn't paying attention. It's not a fad. It's not a two-week fad. This is now into year two, and I think the train's just getting longer for fans for Atlanta United.
Andrew Carlton, this dude is 17 years old, y'all, playing, you know, a professional sport. He will turn 18 in June, on June 22nd, and that's a pretty heady little soundbite right there from a 17-year-old dude. So imagine that, 17 years old. You know what I was doing at 17? Partying my butt off, making tie-dye shirts, trading Grateful Dead bootlegs, and sucking at school. That's what I was doing at 17.
I was skipping school to go to the beach. I was playing wide receiver because I was skinny and fast back then. I had a really bad haircut, and my sense of fashion even worse than it is now.
What was your hair? By the way, I did too. I had the white man mullet going. Kind of. It was like a hippie mullet. I was trying to grow my hair out, but my hair wouldn't grow down. It grew out like in a bush form.
See, this was before I had braids or dreadlocks. I had the surfer.
Which is hilarious in and of itself.
I had like the shaved on the side, faded up with the surfer flip spiked on the side. It was the worst. I look back and go, what the hell was I thinking?
Did it help you pull?
No, my game helped me pull. My hair sure as hell didn't.
The hair didn't help you pull?
No.
Are you sure?
No. I was a wide receiver on the football team and could catch the ball, and I was, you know, I was pretty cool.
So you're saying you could have had any haircut you wanted, and you would have been able to pull?
It didn't help or hinder at all. I was very modest, by the way. All right, elsewhere, around the 404, Torian Prince, 38, a career high. Here's a three in a loss.
Josh Majette will put it in play, and he does. Bounces it out to Torian Prince. Torian now dribbling towards the middle. Torian jacks up a three and makes it. A three-pointer by Torian Prince, and the Hawks have cut it to three.
I guess he jacked it up there.
He did. That'll be in the weekend review.
Career high 38. Look.
Playing some good ball, man.
I am so excited for what's going on with my Hawks right now. You've got Torian Prince sizzling. You've got John Collins in the starting lineup, and they're losing. Okay, so please, Hawks, I love you. It is a sacrifice that I am making as a Hawk fan that I am cheering for this team to take an L or two, because we are tied for the third worst record in the NBA. That's not bad enough, ladies and gentlemen. Do you want DeAndre Ayton? Do you want Marvin Bagley? Do you possibly want Jaren Jackson Jr. or Doncic or any of these guys? Michael Porter Jr.
Mm-hmm.
You got to lose games.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay,
and they did. They got stomped by Indiana. They lose to Chicago.
Bro, it's an obvious top two at the top of the draft. Do you agree? It's Ayton and Bagley.
Should be.
It's an obvious top two. Jaren Jackson has a chance to be number three. Mobamba has a chance to be three. Doncic, Michael Porter Jr., Trey Young. Okay, I don't want to be 5, 6, 7.
No,
I want to be 1, 2, 3. L. Come on, say it with me. L.
Hey, let's move on around the 404. This team got dub tournament. It's Ron Hunter in Georgia State. Here's Ron Hunter talking about winning the Sun Belt.
Well, I'm really proud of our guys. We made the statement before we left Atlanta that we knew we were the best defensive team in the league, and we set a goal to have all three teams to come in, and we want to hold every team that we play under 40% shooting, and we did that. We said if we did that, we would be able to win. We knew we wanted to prove not only that we were the best defensive team in the country, that we wanted to be able to expose that to the national media. And so we're going to be able to do that in the NCAA tournament. So I'm proud of these guys. That's something we talked about.
I love that, dude.
He's a great coach.
Win today. That's his motto, win today. I love that motto.
All I'll say is hopefully this year he does not tear his other Achilles. Actually, you know what? If Georgia State's able to win, and that would be a 15 over a 2, and Ron Hunter tears his other Achilles, I think he'd take that to win another tournament game.
Cincinnati, we talked about it earlier, they're a super solid team. But they're not invincible, okay? This is a possible upset. Mm-hmm. This is a possible 15-2 upset. Again, I think Cincinnati's going to win. I got Cincinnati in the final eight, but that's not a guarantee. Cincinnati is not, you know, a Virginia or a Nova or a super team. They're not. They're really good, and they could get beat. I don't think they will, but they could. How do we get Ron Hunter to Athens as the head coach of the Georgia Bulldogs? How do we get that
They
done?
Usually have this truck called Brinks that carries money. You back one of those up right down the street here at Georgia State and go, all right, Ron, there's a lot of this if you follow me. I mean, I think that's the way. You pay him the right amount, he's going to go. Ron Hunter is the one mid-major coach, and again, we are close to it. We've gotten to know Coach Hunter over the years. He's a great dude. He's the one mid-major coach by his ties to Atlanta that I would like to replace Mark Fox.
Okay, I'm just doing a quick search here. Please don't hold me to these numbers.
Probably less than $1 million a year.
It is, my friend, and that has me excited.
$550 maybe?
Okay, this is March 23rd, 2015.
Mm-hmm.
Hunter, who sports an 87-45 record in four seasons at Georgia State, will receive a salary bump from $425K to $500K, and that's all I got right now. I don't know. He was also then, what year was that, 2015? All right, so that is on top of an extension that he got in 2014. So what if Ron Hunter, if you're listening, we love you. We're big fans. God bless you for making only 500 GER. Mm-hmm. And I say only, like it's a great income. You can have a Beamer and a huge house making 500 GER a year. This is college basketball.
Yeah.
Let's get a come up from my man Coach Hunter. To me, this is a no-brainer. For UGA to go hard and aggressively at Ron Hunter to try to bump him up. And for Ron Hunter, it is a no-brainer. You know the area. Mm-hmm. You're already here.
Yep.
You won't have to move. You just drive up the road to Athens, and you have a chance to be a hero, a savior at one of the major institutions in America. It's a no-brainer for UGA to kick the tires big time on Hunter.
Well, finally, that's because Mark Fox was fired. Here's what he had to say on his way out of Athens, Georgia.
9 years ago, then University President Michael Adams asked me to build a foundation for success on the basketball court, in the classroom, and across the Georgia community, and to do so without ever risking the integrity of the University of Georgia. I have attempted to do that every day throughout my tenure.
All right, so can we now get a gangster in here who will bend the rules a little bit and who does believe in a bag man? I mean, you can be sanctimonious all you want, Coach Fox, but you didn't get it done. And one of the reasons you didn't get it done is because you were too much about integrity and too much. Come on, man. All the other guys are bending the rules to get the talent. Why weren't you?
Guy was 123.
Lost your job over it.
123-43 at Nevada. Not quite as good at the University
John,
of Georgia.
30 games over 500 in 9 years.
That's
two
terrible.
Tournament appearances. Get out of here.
Hey, join 92.9 The Game, V103, and WAOK. It's our family as we're going to go down Thursday, March the 15th, and host the second annual Unity Game when the Atlanta Hawks take on the Charlotte Hornets at 7:30. $5 of every ticket for the game purchased through Hawks.com/Unity will be donated to the United Way to benefit the Thomasville Boys and Girls Club and M. Agnes Jones Elementary. You won't want to miss it. For tickets to the Unity Game, visit Hawks.com/Unity. We come back, we read between the lines with Brian Gebhardt.
It's March, so we'll let Dickie V go on a rant.
Next.
Do y'all realize that Georgia fired Mark Fox? Do you realize that? Like, have we ballyhooed that enough? Greg McGarrity, love you, bro. Gangster, with cojones, with brass ones. Bye-bye, Mark Richt. Bye-bye, Mark Fox. Because you never, Mark Richt is such an amazing human being, such a great guy, blah, blah, blah. Same stuff was said about Mark Fox. Matter of fact, if you blur your vision and look at Richt and Fox, they look like brothers.
Mm-hmm.
Bye.
Yeah. Different. Mark Richt had way more success than Mark Fox.
Good point. But they do have the milk and cookies vanilla thing down, don't they?
Yeah, yeah, they do. That's my new coach. I got to be nice.
Vanilla flavoring. I wasn't making any other reference with vanilla there. Just vanilla flavoring.
Yeah, he definitely
pretty
has
bland.
The flavoring. He does. Brian Gebhardt's not flavored or vanilla or anything. He's just a lot of fun.
That's a tough comparison to throw Rick in the same boat with Fox there. All right, we'll start off with a lot of chatter about Oklahoma. A lot of people don't think they should have gotten in. Here's the committee chair being asked about Oklahoma not even playing in a play-in game.
Oklahoma avoided playing in Dayton in the first four. How?
Again, when you look at their full body of work, and we have some teams that played very well late, some teams that played very well early, but we count the early games. We give as much credibility to those as we did late. Oklahoma hurt their seeding by the way they finished, but they had enough in their resume to justify being in the tournament.
Disagree. I don't think they should be there. I think if Trae Young wasn't Trae Young, Oklahoma wouldn't be there. You sell me whatever you want. You can tell me what you go 18-13, 2-8 down the stretch. You mean to tell me your non-conference games back in November mattered more than limping to the finish? Oklahoma doesn't belong there. They're the first team in the history of the NCAA tournament field, Rick, to go 2-8 in their last 10 games and make the tournament. No thanks.
I went to Big 12 standings. I had to hit expanded standings to find Oklahoma way down here at the bottom at 8-10, 18-13 overall. Now, in Oklahoma's defense, let's take a look at what they did early in the season. I'm trying to look for a good win here. They beat Oregon. Okay win. They beat USC, 85-83. Pretty good win. They beat my guys, Wichita State. Damn you, Oklahoma. 91-83, that's a good win. They beat Northwestern. They beat TCU.
That's a good win.
They beat Oklahoma State, 109-89. They beat Texas Tech. I believe that's 75-65. They got another win against TCU, and then, John, the bottom fell out. Mm-hmm. They did beat Kansas 85-80. I'm just saying, man, look, based on what we've seen most recently, they don't look like a tournament team because it's trash surrounding Trae Young right now. But, look, we now learned about the committee, BG. They look at November and December games as importantly as January, February, and March games, right or wrong.
They do.
All right. So
here's the thing real quick. I think it's right to look at all those games. But you can't finish 18-13 and lose the way that they have. They've been dreadful. Like, nothing about Oklahoma outside of Trae Young screams NCAA tournament team. Now, with that being said, they'll probably win three games and tell everybody, you know, plank you.
Dickie V tells you who should have got in instead of Oklahoma.
How in the world can Oklahoma State be sitting home today and Oklahoma in the tournament when Oklahoma loses 11 of their last 15 games? They didn't win one game in the year 2018 on the road. And on top of it, Oklahoma State beats them twice. Not once, twice. Oklahoma State beats Kansas twice. Oklahoma State beats West Virginia at West Virginia. Oklahoma State beats Florida State. I see no logic. They can give me all the talk they want about early, what they did early, 14-2. There is no way in the world that Oklahoma State, if Oklahoma's in, Oklahoma State had to be in the tournament. I think it's a disgrace. I think it's an embarrassment, and it's a humiliation to what this tournament's about. I really, tell you the truth, it frustrates the hell out of me.
I love it. Dick Vitale, Dick Vitale's past the age of really giving a damn about what he's going to say, what he thinks, doesn't care who he offends. Some would say he's never cared about who he offends. He's Dick Vitale. He's been a great ambassador for the sport. Everything he just said was spot on. I can't argue one way that Oklahoma should be in over Okie State.
Agreed. And I was so glad that ESPN made the right call. You know, Sean Farnham is their hot little up-and-coming analyst.
Stick by that.
Sean Farnham drives me crazy. Who loves himself more in college basketball, player, coach, analyst, host, than Sean Farnham? It's Sean Farnham. And he's been doing a lot of stuff. But Dickie B and Carl Ravitch were the announcing team yesterday, and Laura Rutledge was there as well.
Sean Farnham has a punchable face, too.
Big time.
Like, he just has one of those guys that you hit with an uppercut. Just...
You know when you can just tell a guy loves himself too much and is smelling his own poop too much? Mm-hmm. That's Sean Farnham.
Okay. Like, he's a UCLA kid.
Read between the lines on that, no surprise. Brian Gebhardt.
Are you guys going to miss super exciting Monday night calls like this?
On third and goal, Kaiser using his big frame, 6'4", 233 pounds, for a Cleveland touchdown.
Boo. I'm not booing Kaiser. I'm booing the announcer.
That was pretty boring. It's not going to lie to you.
That wasn't an incomplete pass, which is what it sounded like. That was a touchdown scored on the play. And by the way, it took him 12 seconds after the touchdown to say that he scored a touchdown. And you're on TV. I can already see he scored. You're going to be a little quicker than that, Sean. Come on, let's go.
Now, in fairness, Cleveland scoring a touchdown, it may have been 33-7 by then. So there may not have been a lot of intrigue in the game.
Not he found a DeShone Kizer highlight. That's awesome. But Sean McDonough, out!
Doesn't that just sum up the whole McDonough career there on Monday night? Mm-hmm. All right, Ron Hunter, we talked about it. Georgia State in the bracket. They're going to be playing Cincinnati. They're in the tournament again this year. He wants to do more than just show up.
These guys, we ain't scared to play anybody. We don't care about seeding. We don't care who we play. We wish we could play tomorrow, to be honest with you. These guys just love to play, and they want to showcase their defense. You know, now all of a sudden, we play somebody, and they got a matchup. The first time they see our matchup, good luck. And so we got the guys, and so we're not just going to a dance to dance. We're going there to take the prettiest girl home.
I mean, how do you not love that guy?
It's my kind of coach.
And guess what? My boss is over at Turner Sports. Guess where Ron Hunter is going to be when his team, or if his team, is bounced from the tournament? It's going to be over at Turner Sports helping him out with because he's that charismatic of a guy. We love Ron Hunter. Again, it's a no-brainer for UGA to at least interview him and call him and involve him in the coaching search.
I will be more mad if they don't at least give him a chance.
You have to.
Don't necessarily have to hire him if they feel Thad Mata or Tom Crean or, you know, one of those guys is more willing and more able to turn around the program fine. You at least got to talk to Ron Hunter.
Yep. I think they should hire him, but you got to at least talk to him.
All right, last one for you guys. Tiger Woods, he says his game's coming along.
I think my game's progressing. As I was telling you guys yesterday, I had really some nice building blocks at Honda, and it's, you know, I made a few tweaks for this week, and it's paid off.
He did. He finished his second, one shot off the victory at the Valspar Championship. His odds, he was coming into the weekend like the 330th ranked player. He now has the second best odds to win the Masters.
Thursday, April 5th to Sunday, April 8th.
Mm-hmm.
I can't promise I'll be watching throughout, but assuming Tiger doesn't get hurt between now and then, I will be. Your boy will be watching golf. I can't remember the last time I watched golf.
He jumped 239 spots this week, and the world golf rankings is up to 149th.
I mean, I can't wait to watch him at the Masters.
Me neither.
Man.
Me neither. Cannot wait.
Great theater.
I am excited. I don't know that he'll win it. Matter of fact, I bet he doesn't, but I'd love to see Tiger on Sunday wearing the red and black once again. Take a break. We come back. We'll do the Rick and John redo next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game at 92.9thegame.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.